quickly enough found a lady in North Carolina who had written a book on the shores of southeastern North Carolina in Bladen County. And I said, wow, that's where my folks are from. And so I called her, and she said, if you're not part of the direct line, there's no need in wasting my time. So I asked her, I said, well, how am I supposed to know? And she said, well, send me something on your mom and dad. So I said, well, I've got funeral notices of people from Bladen County who came. And so I sent those up, and she called back 3 or 4 days later, and she said, you might be interested in knowing that our grandfathers were brothers. And so she had one history of the Shaw family left, and I was able to get it.
So you passed the test.
That's where it started.
You were in.
Yep, we were in. And that's so lucky in genealogy. That seldom happens.
Absolutely. So where did you go from there?
Well, I naturally studied the book, found out we went back to 1711, and then the records disappeared because of a little church on the Isle of Jura where my people are from. Isle of Jura is off the coast of Argyll on the western side of Scotland. There were about 2,000 people living on the island at that time. Today there's less than 200. There were 200 Shaws living on the island back then, and today there are none living there. So we're looking forward this summer of taking my family to the Isle of Jura, and at least there will be 6 on the Isle of Jura.
So how did you get into the whole Burns thing then?
A friend invited me to go to a Christmas party, and I did and enjoyed it, and my wife and I have participated ever since. And it's a regular meeting that we enjoy very much, and the cottage is so distinctive that it's just a place to come to, as William Penn Warren said some time ago.
Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks ago today, Robert Burns turned 250, and as I mentioned at the time, I was astonished to find out how popular he was as measured by items on Google News. He got 3,000 hits on his birthday. And by the way, if you were paying attention to the web this past Wednesday, which was the 50th anniversary of the death of Buddy Holly, rock and roll pioneer, he only got 1,500 hits. So Robert Burns, by one measure, seems to be twice as popular worldwide, at least in news items.
Okay, you can also just go on the internet and dial up Robert Burns, and you'll get 2,670,000 hits just on the name Robert Burns alone, and that's how popular he is today. And that's one of the peg holes that I always look at, and evidently you do too, is to see how many websites there are on a particular subject or on a particular person.
So how did the UK honor his 250th birthday?
Well, they did a lot of things. It was very difficult to give you all of them, but I'll mention a couple that are rather important. The Royal Mail, for instance, came out with a third set of stamps on Burns, and this is significant. In 1966, they gave him the first set, 1996 the second set, and quite surprising to me, the third set in 2009. And he now surpasses Winston Churchill, who has 2. And he leaves behind in the dust a fellow named Willie Shakespeare and Charles Dickens. Huh. Either one of those just have 1. And in addition, the Royal Mint put out a new 2-pound coin with a verse from Auld Lang Syne on the part of it, or a portion of the verse. And the Clydesdale Bank, you know, in Scotland, the Clydesdale Bank and the Royal Bank of Scotland are allowed to print their own money. And the Clydesdale Bank honored him with a 10-pound note this year. They did a lot of things. One of the most fascinating things was my friend Clark McGinn spoke at Westminster Abbey on the night of Burns' celebration at 6:30, along with the London Burns Club. And I just thought it would be interesting if Burns could talk what he would think today about being honored in Westminster Abbey. Mm-hmm. When, if you've been back to the corner where the Poets' Corner is, you know that there's this huge statue of Shakespeare, and sitting on the little bust is Burns. But I've always taken satisfaction in the fact that he is above Shakespeare and is looking down on Shakespeare.
William wouldn't stamp Shakespeare.
Right.
So for somebody who thinks they don't like Burns or isn't interested in them, would you argue that maybe they're just not familiar with the right material?
I think so. A lot of people that I've found who have a prejudice toward Burns, and I don't know any other way to call it, if I may tell you a brief story. Back in North Carolina, when I was at the seminary at Wake Forest, in the early 60s. It was during the time when we were having problems with layoffs. And a local boy in the Sampson County was in the Air Force and had flown missions over layoffs, reconnaissance missions. And he was home for rest and relaxation, even though they didn't call it that back then. And when church time came along on Sunday morning out in the middle of this tobacco land, I asked his mother where he was, and she said she did not know because he had gone away to fish and had not come home. And tragically and sadly, they found him that afternoon, and he had gone out on a fishing pond and had gotten into the hard drink a little too much and had tipped out of the boat and had drowned. And this was a guy who flew fighter jets. At the funeral on the hillside there near Roseboro, North Carolina, the 82nd Airborne from Fayetteville came out to honor him. And if you can picture in your mind, here's his grandmother sitting on the front row, the granddaughter between her and the mother. But grandmother was not watching the guys from the 82nd. And so when it was time for them to fire their first volley, they did. And the volley went off. And on that hillside, it sounded like a jet. It was so loud out there. And grandmama fainted because she was not paying attention and didn't realize what happened. The little girl says, "My God, they shot Grandma." And it was kind of difficult to finish the funeral because there was a lot of chuckling going on. But the point is, she knew what she had heard. She knew what she saw. But she was dead wrong on both of them. And I think there's a lot of people that judge Burns the same way. They've heard about his womanizing, they've heard about his drinking, and that's all they know about Burns, and they judge him that way, and they're just as wrong as the little girl was in Sampson County, North Carolina.
Uh-huh. So how would you answer the question, why does Burns matter today in Scotland?
Well, Burns matters today because, let's just face it, he's Scotland's and the UK's greatest gift, even though there'd be some people that say Shakespeare is. Shakespeare just does not pull the money in that Burns does. For instance, Burns annually in tourism in Scotland pulls in £157 million, not dollars, but pounds. And this summer, with the thing they call the homecoming, they're looking for him to bring in another £40 million. And I think there's a tragic irony here for me in this regards that he, on his deathbed, was begging a family member and a friend to give him £5 from one and £10 from another so he would stay out of jail. He was so afraid he was going to be put in prison because his uniform from the Dumfries volunteers had not been paid for, and they were threatening him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this to me is interesting, that he was trying to save his family. He was trying to save his little hearth-warming people that he had there, his children. His wife was pregnant and expecting and actually had a child the day that he was buried. And all. And yet we come back 250 years later, and a guy who was not given much of anything other than by a few people, but nothing by the country itself to any extent, is being asked to bring in not only £157 million normally, but an additional £50 million, £40 million again. And it just seemed like that they put it all right on the back of Burns' shoulder, and as such, it's just a mighty load for a man who really didn't have hardly anything and just worked for a few pounds a month.
Interestingly, when he did die, I believe money did pour in from Scotland for his wife and family.
Yes.
Which would have surprised him a lot.
Raised a lot of money, and I'll be happy to tell you that the Lord Mayor of London raised more money than anybody else did, and I'm proud to say that not only was he from Dumfries, but his last name was Shaw.
Uh-huh.
And so I've always taken a great deal of pride in that. But Burns has been Scotland's greatest gift for 200 years, and you ask why, it's because of his poems, his songs. He helped pioneer the Romantic movement. His internationalism cannot be eclipsed by anyone, for a man's a man for all that. And you may as well throw his letters in, because if you're willing to take the time to read them, you'll find they're some of the greatest prose that you'll ever read. And he inspired poets like Wordsworth and Coleridge and Emerson.
Mm-hmm.
And only recently did I find out that Burns gave John Steinbeck the title of Mice and Men, and after a fashion, the same writer said he gave J.D. Salinger the title of his book Catcher in the Rye. And so that is why I think Burns is so important to Scotland and to them.
Do you have a favorite Burns poem or song that you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, I do. My favorite Burns poem is John Anderson, My Joe. And the reason it's my favorite is it's a song of joy. It's a song of love. I've had other poems of Burns that were my favorites over the years, other songs that meant a lot to me. But as I have aged and hopefully matured, my mind and more importantly my heart keep going back to John Anderson, My Joe. And while this song expresses the love of a wife for the man in her life, after decades of marriage, I might add, I identify strongly with the gentle words that they have. So let's look at the word Joe, J-O, not J-O-E now. It's an unusual word. It's a term of endearment. What does it mean? It can be interpreted as joy, John Anderson, my joy. Sweetheart, John Anderson, my sweetheart. And we could go on, darling, lover, or dear. I've chosen to use another word, the word love. It is a song of acclamation, one that you can shout from the hills, a la Julie Andrews you can see running through the hills singing. It's a song of affirmation. It's a quiet internal resolve, a safe harbor. You know the woman you love loves you back. You need to know that Burns took a rather risque, bawdy barroom song, John Anderson, My Joe, that was not fit for polite or proper company, and transformed it into a song of beauty and, as I said earlier, a song of joy. And for the ladies present who may be listening, you've heard about Robert Burns and his wife, his affairs. This is Burns writing from a woman's perspective. Get the words and read them. The words come from the recesses of her heart. The genius of Robert Burns comes through in this song, to me, probably as much as any song he wrote, including Auld Lang Syne. If any man ever knew or really understood women, Robert Burns did. Just listen to these words. John Anderson, my love, John, when we were first acquainted, your locks were like the raven, your bonny brow was smooth, and now your brow is bald, John. Your locks are like the snow. But blessings on your frosty head, John Anderson, my love. John Anderson, my love, John, we climbed the hills together. And many a cheerful day, John, we had with one another. And now we must gently totter down, John, and hand in hand.